And you are listening to FOW Live here at the FOW Ready Network on Podbean. And with me, as always, Danny Danger. And because for a third week in a row, he still has not gotten enough of me, David Fearman. Fellas, it's Thursday night, which means there's not Dynamite. That was obviously yesterday. But yeah, here we are. Another week, another dollar, and more drama.
Well, thankfully for us, there's always drama in professional wrestling. You know, somewhere, somehow, there's enough for us to talk about. And I just want to say it is a milestone on the FOW Live, as we are at episode 150.
You're right, yes. I did see that it's
I just noticed that as we were starting today. Thought I'd give it a shout out. 150 episodes live. The last one that's uploaded here on Podbean is 114. So I think you got some work to do this weekend, Patrick.
I mean, since I'll be up slightly earlier than usual for Saturday night, I think I might just do that. See, every weekend I tell myself what I need to do is upload these.
Yeah,
then something else happens.
Just make lists and prioritize things. That's what I do. I got lists all over the place of things I need.
Yes, do. I do. But then emergencies happen.
Well,
something always comes up for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Can't really account for those.
Mm-hmm. So, fellas, let's see. Where do I start? Let's start closer to the end.
Okay.
So, you know, first, Dr. Schultz,
David Schultz. Schultz, is that who we're talking about?
Yeah. First, you know, he manhandles a reporter.
This was like 30 years ago, though. Don't act like it was last week. Okay.
Then Vader slaps, you know, another one was a TV show host that was interviewing him on The Undertaker. And now we get almost the third scare. Austin Theory was seen being interviewed, and, you know, he got questioned about wrestling being fake. And my goodness, of all people, I did not expect Austin Theory to be the guy, to keep on fighting the good fight that David Schultz and Vader started long ago.
I mean, he's right. It is real. Like, he had accomplishments before he even started, like in his division of bodybuilding, and it really didn't mean shit. Like, it meant that he could do the moves and do the in-ring work before his classmates and get on TV, but he really had a hard road, like, even with that. Like, as hard a road as pretty much anybody.
Well, I mean, they were in Australia, right? Are they still down in Australia doing tours for the weekend or something? So that's where this happened?
They're doing press for the show on Saturday.
Yeah, so Australians, you know, I mean, they're a bunch of criminals and debtors and these kind of things, and the descendants of criminals and debtors. So you can't really expect them to maybe have the best manners, let's say. So they're just going to say whatever the fuck they want. Mm-hmm. And here in the A, where Austin Theory's from, we don't stand for that shit.
For real. The UK.
Yeah, to take A-Town downtown, down under.
Mm-hmm. He's from Forest Park. It's pretty rough out there. Like, they have four-wheelers and shit out there.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Defending the sport we love. But if you gave me a list, all right, of wrestlers for me to choose, of who would be the next one to stick up for pro wrestling getting called fake, Austin Theory is not in my bingo card.
Well, okay, I see that because he's from the newer school of wrestling. You know, you would expect, in theory, it to be somebody who grew up in the older school, you know, the school that produced Vader, the school that produced David Schultz. But, you know, I think he, you know, he wanted to stand up for that. I mean, it's something that's important to him. And he wasn't just going to kind of brush it off and laugh it off. Good for him. Absolutely. I mean, he didn't strike the person though, right? It was just kind of like a heated
discussion. They actually had security with him and he pulled them away before it would escalate.
He should have screamed at David Arquette.
As soon as Austin Theory got in his face and basically kind of insinuated that he would slap him around, the security pulled him away and just walked him off.
So. Gotcha. Okay. See, I thought it was just kind of like he yelled at him, and the guy was like, "Okay, dude, like chill." And then they went back. They were
face to face.
Like it was nose to nose. There you go. Yeah. That goes to Australians, man. Felons and convicts. They just gonna fight you. Debtors and stuff.
Sylvester Stallone, I think, commented on it too. Like Sylvester Stallone made a random tweet about how pro wrestling's real. Unless somebody just pulled it up today and he put that like at some point. He may have been commenting on that because I saw the tweet today.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting to hear from Stallone. And I mean, I guess, you know, he saw an aspect of it, you know, when he did Rocky III where he fights Hogan, you know, in the ring and stuff. And makes Hogan looks enormous next to Stallone and, you know, just beating him up and stuff. So maybe he went through a little bit of the secrets of wrestling, kind of learning for that, you know?
Yeah, takes care of you. He saw that firsthand, like, to work with him. Yeah. It's so easy.
Yeah.
Especially in his prime.
Yeah. The heyday of Hulkamania, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. You make the most money in your life. Like, wrestling him or Warrior, and it like 5 seconds.
You're cutting in and out, David.
Oh, okay. You hear me now?
Yes. You said something. You started you make the most money in your life wrestling him, Warrior, and then you kind of cut out.
It takes only 5 seconds to make that big money, like 20,000. Just like 5 seconds getting squashed by the top guy.
I mean, that's true,
100%. Yeah. So that's the big drama. Now, of course, people making the rounds. I think SmackDown was pre-taped last week.
Yeah, I would assume if they're going to be in Australia, they're not going to do it live from Australia, right? So they would pre-tape it.
So, you know, we're leading to Elimination Chamber. We'll get to Elimination Chamber in a little bit. But, man, this past Friday night on SmackDown, they really advertised Roman Reigns and The Rock. And, my goodness, we got The Rock, the Rock that we have grown to know and love in pro wrestling. In pro wrestling, not in real life.
No, neither way. Fuck that cracker.
Hey, this is the Rock that made him popular, right? Okay, chill.
I'm not right.
That doesn't mean that I was part of that enjoyed him. Doesn't mean that I know and love him.
Does that make you a wrestling crybaby?
Cody crybaby or something? I don't know. Maybe.
It's expanded now. This is all wrestling crybabies.
It's just all wrestling, not just Cody crybabies.
Yeah.
Hey, man. The Macho Man says crying's okay. And if Macho Man says crying's okay, then you don't need to be making fun of folks for crying. Okay, it's a manly thing to do. Manly men cry. It doesn't make them less manly.
Yeah, Cody's a manly guy. You know why he tore his pec, right?
Yeah, and then he wrestled, and it was all like, it looked like he had been through a horror movie. Like, he was some, like, his, that bruising on his chest was just nasty as anything.
Mm-hmm. Did you I heard that, like, he was just at a gym, and he saw a big guy come in. And so he wanted to show out for this random stranger who was swole.
Damn.
Yeah. And tore his pec.
Oh, jeez. Just for some rando, yeah. I hope she was hot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, here we go.
You don't want to hurt yourself trying to flex for an ugly chick, okay?
Right. It might have been R-Truth.
WrestleMania. So, The Rock here cuts up a damning promo. I mean, he's now full-fledged heel over again. It's 1998.
Yep, because we got video screen presentations. We know it's fucking 98 all over again.
I don't know about you all, but I can start telling how the production is slightly different. The presentation. So even some of the videos before the matches felt like slightly differently produced. Were like kind of like they used to do back in the 90s, but more like the UFC does them now, where you can still see the synergy between them. But I got more thoughts on that later. But man, The Rock came in, so he's a full Les Hill. He came in with shades, sunglasses. He came out with, you know, the shiny Versace cutoff shirt, gold chain around the neck. He just went calling, you know, they were in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, said that they have broken the record for the most trailer park trash in one building. At one time, just went off. The Rock got booted. The Rock embraced it. Which does this?
It's like
mean,
the Hollywood Rock style.
Yeah. So does this mean like kudos to WWE and The Rock for pivoting as they did once the fans came back and said, no, this is not what we want. We don't want Rock versus Roman. We want Cody to finish the story. And they had to pivot? Or was this the plan all along? What are your thoughts, opinions?
I want to hear what you gotta say first, David.
Oh yeah, like I think he had a backup plan the whole time because WWE is just unpredictable. Like, no one would have thought Batista got booed like he did in the Rumble. Nobody thought, like, Ray Jr. could ever get booed like he did at number 30. So I think Rock was ready for it. I think, like, he's, like, his appeal as an actor is waning. And now that, like, since he's tried to get involved with politics, people see, like, he's kind of just, like, he's way too moderate. He's not really about very much besides, like, doing the best and working hard. I mean, that's good shit, but he's like not as interesting as like a Stone Cold to me. Even as like an actor.
So I, from certain things that I've seen, it appears that this was the larger plan all along. That yes, they wanted to bring in Rock, but the plan was to use Rock to get Cody more over, you know, basically rather than build the Rock up because he's already built up and he'll go away, you know, use him to build a current star, you know, into the leader of the company kind of. So that's what I've heard. Now, I don't know if that's their, you know, what people are just saying now that things have seemingly changed, that this was the big plan all along, as opposed to like, this is the flash plan and we're just trying to seem like we're smart. But I think that was from what I've seen, it seems like this was the plan all along. So it's, you know, they, it may or may not be moving at the speed they originally intended. But I think this is the bigger plan all along. I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, a lot of people definitely do talk about this possibly being the, you know, forced to have to go this route. I think to David's point, that maybe they did have a plan A and a plan B, or, but at the same time, maybe they could have had all this plan all along, but just wanted to fill it out first. Let's see how people react, right? Because again, if they hit Rock versus Roman, which every time the Rock showed up until, you know, he started getting booed, it looked like people would salivate over that match. I mean, I was all for it, and I'm still all for it. They pivot again, but here we go. They tease this match, and then they see people like, no, they don't want it. Well, okay, well, let's just go ahead and move with the other plans then. Regardless, I mean, they had to be prepared for this. Let's not forget, was it back in 2018, if I remember correctly, or 17, when Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble and The Rock came out and the fans were booing? Obviously, they weren't booing The Rock. They were booing Roman winning. But The Rock disappeared and didn't come back for another 2-3 years because he didn't want anything to do with getting booed. The Rock didn't get booed. And this is the first time he got booed since leaving the nation, or the corporation, actually. So, you know, The Rock was trying to get booed a few years ago, and he disappeared. So coming back here, you know that they had to semi-expect The Rock to possibly get booed. Otherwise, The Rock wouldn't have been braced the way he has. You know, he could have just taken his ball back home to Hollywood and do his thing. But no, there's definitely these contingencies in place. And like we've seen how they've done, you know, especially with the Daniel Bryan thing in 2014. No, 2016. I can't remember. It's one of those years.
I think 2016, I think.
Yeah, where, you know, they had to pivot, right? They had to change things up. And they did a good job then, and they're doing a great job now. And it's even more entertaining because now we're going to get The Rock. Now, obviously, people are reading a lot into this promo of The Rock, where he's saying that he's going to make sure you don't leave, you know, with the championship at WrestleMania. Not saying who he's talking about, right? People are assuming it's Cody. People are saying he may be saying, telling it to Roman Reigns without telling him straight up. Also, another thing that people are reading into is when they all raised their finger up, the Rock did the L shape, like loser.
Or a gun, because he was going to turn a gun on him.
Oh. Who knows, right? Yeah. So those are little like Easter eggs that people are thinking that the release dropping, where they're thinking that there could be more shenanigans. But we'll see. There's a lot to it. But as far as The Rock now, I was very sports entertained on Friday night, and we're gonna keep this ball rolling. Obviously, right now, all eyes are on Elimination Chamber Perth. And, well, Elimination Chamber Perth is the next stop to...
Oh, yeah.
The road to WrestleMania. So here we are. The road to WrestleMania. Next stop, Perth, Australia. And this is probably, they're treating this as the biggest Elimination Chamber PLE that they've ever had, because, you know, it's in Australia. They got paid. They're bring, you know, they're doing this huge thing, right? I mean, they just everything they're doing internationally right now is, you know, is very, it seems to be very positive. I mean, they just had a contingent in Saudi Arabia, as they had a what they call WWE World, which is kind of like a basically the new name for WWE Access.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's how they name it, because they're also debuting WWE the World, WWE WrestleMania World here in Philly. Tickets just came out. Basically, is what used to be your WWE Superstore and became WWE Access. Now it's called WWE World, and it's a huge thing, right? It's got the shop aspect. It's got all these interactive, you know, components. I don't know exactly everything they have, but things they've had in the past, you know, where you can like come out to a wrestler's entrance, you can call a match.
Oh, that's cool. It's like a little theme park. Things.
Yeah, exactly. Then they have the meet and greets with that fireman group, whatever it's called, that handles the entertainment meet and greets. And then they also have some additional meet and greets they'll sometimes have. And so they have a lot of interactive things. It's a whole. Oh, they also have like a lot of memorabilia in display. I remember seeing Dusty's boots and Ric Flair's robe. You know,
was Andre, there any Andre? Right?
Huh?
Andre, yeah. That's Stephanie's best friend.
Yeah. So they had so much stuff. You know, and they also had the Undertaker's graveyard. As well as has been a big popular feature so late. So yeah, they just debuted that in Saudi Arabia, and obviously they're doing something like in Perth. They also in Perth, you know, they're having this huge press event where all the fans actually starts in 30 minutes. So it's kind of crazy. So this is a huge event, and we have a huge so far announced 4 matches. They could add 1 or 2 more. Obviously, the chamber matches are going to take a hot minute of these. But let's look over the 4 matches that are currently announced. Let's first talk about the match that we didn't get to see, which was the rumor match. It was Brock Lesnar versus Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Yes. Lesnar going to be the match. Who knows? It's probably just Mysterio going to Suplex City.
I hope Dominic tears him up.
But, that, you know, we might see, we could always see them putting Braun Breaker and put in that match regardless, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we go for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. The Judgment Day versus the New Catch Republic is what they're calling themselves now. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
What do they call themselves now?
The New Catch Republic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So who you guys liking for that match? I mean, do we see Judgment Day retain, or is this... when they lose the titles, is it the beginning of the end of the tag team reign of the Judgment Day?
I think Judgment Day retains. I don't know if they've really built up, the new team to be a realistic threat. But, you know, I think Judgment Day retains and keeps going. The act is still hot, so there's no point in trying to mess with it.
Yeah, they're one of the more popular groups that they've had in a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah, New Catch Republic will make it a good match, though. They'll probably come out with, like, some more smarky fans after it, but I don't think they're going to win the belt.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm thinking too. I think if they lose it anywhere, it'll be a WrestleMania. And interesting to see who they lose it to. Next up, Rhea Ripley, who's going to get a huge standing ovation here in her hometown, defending the Women's World Championship versus Nia Jax. 100% Ripley is winning this thing. She's going to WrestleMania champion.
Ripley. Yeah, yet again, it's her hometown. She's one of the hottest acts in the company right now. Why would you take the belt away from her?
Yeah, definitely not to put it on Nia. It might be a cool match, though.
I mean, it'll be a cool down match.
Yeah.
Down match, goodness, yeah.
Let's just hope Nia doesn't...
injure her? Doesn't go all Nia on her, basically?
Yeah.
All right. The Women's Elimination Chamber. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus Raquel Rodriguez, who just returned from injury, and she came back, won her spot by wrestling in a mini battle royal to determine the sixth contender, as Shotzi, who was supposed to be in this match, was injured in her NXT title match. And had to bow out, so Raquel Rodriguez comes back in her place. The winner will face off against what we believe to be Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Shotzi tore her ACL, just had surgery yesterday or the day before. She says it's about a 9-month recovery for her. Hopefully it's not that long, but you definitely don't want to play around with an injury like an ACL tear. I don't know if Raquel's the best choice to have put in the match. I know they're really high on her. To me, she misses something, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she flexes her back, and that's cool, and then she smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it. Like, and the whole smiley Raquel thing is weird, too. Like, it seems that I think she'd be better suited kind of in the role they're giving to Nia Jax and the Monster Destroyer, you know?
Yeah, it might be better than Nia to have her be like that.
Yeah. You know? Have her be kind of the... team. Yeah, I mean, they could do that. Have them as the two powerful destroyer kind of tag team.
And Tamina.
Is Tamina still employed? I forget.
She is.
Okay.
She's got a maid.
Yeah, that's true. She's pretty much a maid. Made person at this point.
Mm-hmm. She always is smiling and stuff. Like, she can't help but smile when she comes in to do her little shit. That was funny. You remember when Charlotte messed up her line and they both said it?
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'll have you looking like you're going to look like Ellsworth. And then Tamina said the same thing back. And she was like, why don't you shut up before I make you look like Ellsworth, bitch? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So I think this is Becky's match to win, though. I think this is Becky Lynch's match to win. I think that's the seemingly obvious story that they want to go with for that.
Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, if we see what they've been doing, you know, teasing this thing between Becky
and Rhea,
like all three of them might have been somewhat intertwined after the last few months. It's kind of like, okay, I think, you know, this is the time. I mean, we've seen Becky, you know, win the belt, leave, get injured. No, she had a baby. Come back.
That's kind of the same. You're
She was an injury reserve. And I think that she's still, I mean, her return back, her win was nice, but still didn't feel that home when she did it. I think now, I think this could be a better way, especially if they go with her as the person to dethrone Rhea. It'd be a really cool moment. I'm still torn about what will happen with Bayley and Neo, and how this is gonna end. But yeah, I definitely think that we're gonna see Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. I mean, because that screams WrestleMania match.
That's a big time match. Yeah, that's pretty much the two biggest stars in the division. Yeah.
Unless you're going to do a multi-person match, if you're going to just put two women together, that's the match to make.
Yeah.
You know? So. Yeah. So, I think we're all in agreement. So, the men, that's where you have so many options as to where you can go with that. I mean, you can't go wrong with any of the options, to be honest. Kevin Owens, right? He's always a guy who you can depend on to put in that title match role, and you know what you're going to get from him. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be great. I mean, he's great at the mic. You know, that's always going to be something that's going to be entertaining. LA Knight, I mean, he's semi-proven in that main event roster. His popularity definitely cannot be doubted. And, you know, a spotlight at WrestleMania could do him a lot of good, right? Even in the losing effort. Logan Paul, I mean, you're investing in this guy. You're definitely not paying him, rookie money to get started. This guy's a businessman, so you're paying him a pretty penny. You have him, you know, you put a belt on him now. Could we see a champion versus champion? I mean, we've seen this match before, but neither man had a belt. Now both men have belts. You know, we could possibly see that. Randy Orton, I mean, he's, you know, the most accomplished and the most decorated wrestler in this match, and you know, one last run could possibly be what we get out of Randy here. Bobby Lashley, again, similar to Kevin Owens but a different way, definitely a dependable top guy who you could put in there and do the thing, but I think you'd be a little more preoccupied with other things. And then that brings to Drew McIntyre. Huh?
Lashley is?
I mean, because he's been feuding with whatever the name of that faction is, with Cross and AOP.
I can't remember their stupid name, but yeah, the white guys, basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Drew McIntyre, right? I mean, he will forever be remembered as the COVID champion.
He
didn't even get to win the title in the Superdome because they didn't have the Superdome at that time, you know. I can only imagine the pop he would have gotten at in Tampa Raymond James Stadium. Had, you know, in front of 80,000+ fans, me included, because I had tickets, who were going to blow the roof, not the roof, I mean, because it's no roof, go crazy when he won. I mean, he was at the top. You couldn't get him any higher at that moment. Beats Brock Lesnar. And technically the Big Show in the main event of WrestleMania. Yeah. This could also be his moment. Is it the time where you give him to redeem himself? So, what say you? Who's your pick to win this match and face off against Seth freaking Rollins?
It's Cody versus who?
Say what?
Who's in the match?
Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre.
I think KO's got it. KO or Logan?
I think since Punk is obviously not going to be available, and that was seemingly the big match for Seth, I think Drew McIntyre, because Seth Rollins is, you know, yet again, he's heel-ish, but he's won the fans over. He's very popular. So you need somebody who's going to antagonize him. And Drew's been doing that. Drew's been antagonizing the whole roster, you know, on social media, on backstage sketches. He's just messing with everybody. You know, so I think you need somebody who's willing to antagonize that. And then, you know, when Punk does come back, Punk has feuds set up with not only Seth, but also Drew, because Drew took his spot, you know, and Drew's kind of making fun of, you know, of him getting injured and stuff. So I think that's the route you go. I think Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. everyone has a valid reason why they should get a shot at Rollins at WrestleMania. Out of all of them, yeah, I definitely did think Drew McIntyre is the guy. You know, like I said, forever a COVID champion. He deserves a true run of this championship in front of fans. And you know what? I'll go ahead and say, like, if he does win, he is my pick to win the entire thing, to win the title match against Rollins. I believe he would defeat Rollins. I mean, if the rumors are true and there's possibly going to be a tag team match on night one with Rollins and Cody versus the Bloodline, then, you know, Rollins having to wrestle on night two and defend the title against McIntyre after probably going through a war the night before. He's just
picking. Yeah, it's good coverage for Rollins. And, you know, and then if Rollins drops the title, he can then take a little bit of time off to, you know, deal with this injury that he has that, you know, he still claims he'll be ready to go for WrestleMania for. So yeah, that would make that seems to make the most sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, sometimes what makes the most sense makes no sense.
Well, yeah.
So, whoever knows what we could see, because we think we know what we're gonna see, but then, you know, just it's like Piper used to say, just when you had the answers, they changed the questions. So
anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
You know? That is also true. That is also true. Yeah. So now I imagine, obviously, this is a big show. Do you guys expect any surprises in Perth on Saturday morning?
Like debuts and stuff?
Anything. Do you think we'll see anything that could be considered a surprise or a shocker, you know, wrestling related on this show? Or do you think we'll just go with everything that's advertised?
I think it's just everything that's advertised and head on straight into WrestleMania. You know, just flesh out the current stories you've got leading into the show of shows.
Yeah, WrestleMania is when the most people buy the pay-per-view. So it's usually like it's a little different than like a non-WrestleMania season WWE pay-per-view. And like it might be, it's usually kind of in a vacuum from the rest of the year, like where the awesome stuff happens at WrestleMania. So I think it's going to be like that again, like with the babyfaces winning. Because this is how it usually goes. It's like a Disney pay-per-view.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be very interesting right now. I mean, we're only what two a day and a half away, less than a day and a half away from the show being over. And this is the last PLE before WrestleMania. Oh yeah, so let's also forget they also are doing the Grayson Waller effect with Rollins and Cody.
Show. Part that announced for the chamber specifically,
yeah.
Oh, talk show segments on pay per view, wonderful.
So, I think this could start leading into the possible tag team match because let's not forget, Seth Rollins said to Cody, "Hey, Cody, you're gonna need my help. I'm here to help you." Cody's like, "No, I'm good." Cody got beat up, and then, you know, out came, you know, Rollins and told him, you know, "I told you so." It's like, yeah, you did. So maybe this is when they'll solidify the fact that they want to fight against the Bloodline and issue a challenge for night one. If that is a route they're going to go, and you got to imagine if that match does happen, it main events WrestleMania night one.
Well, of course, yeah.
And then that means Roman versus Cody, are the headliners for night two. We could see Rollins versus the winner of the chamber open up night two. Where does that lead the women?
I could see them being like co-main event of night one. Becky versus Rhea. Being on night one, and I mean, even we could do Io versus Bayley as the co-main event of night two, have that right before the big title match. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're definitely not gonna. If you got Rock wrestling on night one, and you got your big title match on night two, like there's the women aren't going to main event. Yeah.
Do y'all think Rock can go in the ring this year?
I think that's why they do a tag match.
Me too.
Just in case he can go and hit a few spots, then he can stand on the apron and catch his breath, and then he can run back in there and hit a few spots and grab a rest hold, and then you know go hit the apron. It's mm-hmm. It's a lot less demanding. There's a lot, you know, you have your partner out there and two opponents that are working to try and make you look your best and cover for you of your shortcomings.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna do the shit shooter.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he's gonna do his little twisty sequence and a couple arm drags, and the fans are gonna chant, "You still got it," at him. That's a big spot of his.
Do
a slot back DDT.
He owns the rock bottom.
If they could get what they got out of Austin 2 years ago, they can definitely get something out of The Rock.
Yeah, it's just different with Rock because where Austin, you're kind of like, oh, we don't want to hurt him. And he's, you know, he's had so many injuries, so he's obviously not going, you know, and age, he's not going to be what he was. I think The Rock is more not, oh, he's already injured and he's going to be slowed down. I think it's more so that, well, I mean, there is that part, he's gassing, but that they don't want to get him hurt. To where he then messes up his Hollywood schedule and all that, you know, because all these movies are, you know, they book out when they, you know, when they take, you know, when they film and when they need you and these kind of things. And if he, you know, he breaks an arm or you know, turns his nose sideways on his face or something, like it's going to mess that up and cost a lot of people a lot of money to move and change things around.
Yeah.
I think Stone Cold can probably go better. Rock seems like he's always on like steroids and stuff, and he's just working out and pumping iron. I think like, unless you're like wrestling all the time, you can't be like just getting huge. Well, getting huge only works against you, I think.
Yeah.
To be trying. Well, to
I mean,
back.
Stone Cold too is, you know, is a much more of a brawler style. So he and Owens can can kind of run around. It's not as physically demanding as a lot of exchanging of holds and, you know, high spots and these kind of things.
He took a suplex on the, what's it called, the ramp, right? Or he might have gave one.
Austin?
He probably was going to take one and then he gave it.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, it's like hard to give one on that type of surface, probably.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it definitely didn't feel good giving it either, yeah.
It was cool. You remember when Scott Hall, like, he got back body dropped on the outside during that goofy Triple H versus Sting match?
Oof, yeah.
That was, like, how I felt when Stone Cold got, or, like, when he was in a suplex spot on the ramp.
You're like, no, don't hurt him. Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Okay, other news and needs and notes here. Let's see. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, the Good Brothers, arrive at NXT.
Kind of a little funny to see them down in NXT. Is their whole gimmick is about being, you know, their gimmick and their lifestyle is about being big time players and selling out the big arenas and all that. Like, yeah. It's like they're
still in development.
There you go. Karl needs his conditioning developed. He's
you know what's funny? You know what's funny is as soon as they made their appearance, I started seeing people on the interweb say, oh my gosh, this means they signed Okada, so that they're putting his friends in NXT with them.
Oh. I didn't even see any of that or make that connection.
Yeah, me neither until I saw a tweet. So, I mean, bless you, Danny, for leaving the X.
Yeah, I think
the type of ridicule is you get to avoid.
There you go. Yeah,
the Good Brothers.
But yeah,
without AJ.
You know, listen. Here's the thing about the Good Brothers, right? They're still getting paid.
That's all they care about.
And they're still getting paid no matter where they work.
Yeah, right? And that's what they care about. Paid. They care about getting paid and getting beat up as less as possible. That's true.
Absolutely. So if that, no matter where they work or which or not, they work, hey, they show up, and lately they've been just doing backstage things with AJ. I mean, they're still getting get paid the same regardless of whether they bump or don't bump. I mean, I'm sorry, but wouldn't you want to get paid to show up to work and not have to do any work?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, right? That's very true, yeah.
If your boss had come to work.
Especially after you've been wrestling for so many years, you know, like they've... Yeah. It's not like these guys have only been in the business a few years. Like they've both been wrestling for, you know, pushing 20 years probably.
They've been able to do cool stuff like more often than not too, even when they didn't make much money.
Yeah. All you got to do is just show up, get dressed, check in, and then go to catering. And you can get paid for that. I mean, sure, you want to be able to be doing some stuff. And eventually, I'm sure they'll do stuff in the main roster. But I mean, that we've been talking about this with the WWE, and it's, I think, to an extent, the problem with AEW is you should have too many top stars. You just don't know what to do with them, right? And you know, AEW has got three shows that they, you know, and even with the three shows they have, they still can't highlight everyone to their full advantage. So obviously, with WWE, you're gonna get, you know, a little bit of the same. I mean, look at Sami Zayn, right? Last year he was main eventing Night One of WrestleMania, winning the tag team titles. Now he's on a losing streak. I'm not gonna say that Kevin Owens is an afterthought because he's still definitely very involved in a lot of different things. But at the same time, it's like, may or may not necessarily feel like where he was just a year ago. But again, that, you know, since then, what's happened, right? Jey Uso became a top guy. You know, Cody came, you know, back. What's his name? Randy Orton came back. And CM Punk came back. So you have all these guys, right? AJ Styles came back. So, and then, you know, you just have so many top guys. Like, what are you going to do with them? Obviously, we said we don't want to see another 2-3 hours of television anywhere. So you're just going to do your best. And this may not necessarily be for, you know, the Good Brothers' sake, but I think that coming down to NXT and working with some of the younger talent, we know that Luke Gallows, you know, has experience, you know, working with younger talent, up-and-coming talent. You know, he had a training school here in Georgia.
I mean, Luke Gallows also went through WWE developmental before.
True.
He was in developmental for quite some time to where people were like, we're not sure if this guy's going to get up, get out. Right. And, you know, the gimmick that got him up there first was flipping Festus, baby.
Don't ring that bell around here. Funny enough, another tweet I saw was after Tuesday night was also people claiming that Tama Tonga would be coming and joining the Good Brothers at NXT.
Yeah, that's true. He did just kind of have his last farewell match with New Japan. And so, you know, speculation abound where he goes and what he does. And I think he's less likely to do WWE. I think he'll do AEW because he can work a shorter schedule. You know, they're not really doing house shows and big international tours and these kind of things, which, you know, Thomas said was kind of what led to his decision to leave New Japan, was he wanted to be able to have and spend more time with his family. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to go for somewhere that's going to have a lighter schedule. I could even see him doing TNA and then occasional indie or signing just to have his schedule very, very light. You know, I mean, working in Japan and being there for, you know, I mean, he was probably working, you know, 15 years because he went to the dojo system too. You know, I guarantee you the man's got his money. He's got stuff set aside. So it's not like he can take something that's not going to pay as well. And, you know, to get the rewards of more free time and stuff.
Yeah.
He lives in Florida, right?
I'm not sure. I thought he lived here in Georgia because he was involved with Gallows' WrestleMerica and stuff back in the day. But I don't know. I mean, if he's from Florida, he could, you know, he could just drive as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure where he is. North Carolina, I think.
Okay. Home base in North Carolina. Okay.
Yeah. I think where he's – I know he was born there, so he's still there.
I don't know.
Yeah. I do remember him from North Carolina. I would think if he was in Georgia, we may have seen him on the flight to Wrestle Kingdom a couple years ago.
That's true, unless he had been there much earlier. I mean, we saw his brother. Oh,
No, he was on the flight.
No, it was Anderson.
Yes,
Carl
that showed up with his wife.
Yeah, Carl was there, but Tama Tonga was not.
Right. Oh, we were talking about Tama Tonga.
We're talking about where Tama's from. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. I got mixed up with my names here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about where Tama was from. David asked if Tama lived in Florida, and I said I didn't know, but he wrestled WrestleMerica a lot with Gallows. Yeah. In Middle Georgia, so I didn't know.
That's a good question. I'm thinking he's somewhere in the Southeast, probably Florida.
So you think he is Florida, maybe? Yeah.
I think he's an Orlando guy, or like a North Florida guy.
That's my guess. But yeah. Yep, Orlando.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then he's already there, close to NXT, I guess. If he's got to work NXT, commute there and work out every day, it's not like it's a super long journey for him.
They can learn a lot from him and the Good Brothers. He can be in a little trio with them too.
Yeah, very true.
And if they continue to tease this breakup, I don't know. With AJ, they might be looking for a new Good Brother. But who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah. It'll all be interesting to see where they land. Supposedly, Camille has chosen her next place where she'll be doing the wrestling. She has filled the offers for WWE, AEW, and TNA. And that's all I know.
That's all she said. Yeah, she did a video live last night and pretty much said, yeah, she hadn't said where she was, but she said she was entertaining offers.
So, yeah, that's cool. I mean, selfishly, do I want to see her in the league? Sure. But at the end of the day, wherever she's happiest, go ahead and get your money, get paid,
yeah,
and get what you're looking for. So, yeah,
wherever she goes, she can be an asset. You know, I mean, we saw her at, you know, we've seen her. I mean, we've seen her grow up in Atlanta, but like more recently, we saw her at this past year's WrestleCade. You know, she wrestled on the Ladies Night Out show the next day. And, I mean, she just has this amazing star quality, you know? She right. felt like she was, you know, like everybody else that you had seen on the card up to her, and including her opponent, were nobodies, and she was the star. You know, so I think that's a thing that she, you know, had worked really hard to make herself that kind of attraction, you know, behind Nick Aldis for so long and not even throwing a punch or anything like that. So the fans were aching to see this girl even fight somebody, you know, and that's something that she's maintained, that kind of mystique and that star power of making people care and pay attention to you. And so anywhere she goes, she could be, you know, a very valuable asset, you know, because of that, you know. And then over the time, her ring work has gotten better and better, and she's leaning more into, you know, the character and her ring work, tying those together. You know, the only problem would be is that she's used the spear as a finisher for a long time. So wherever she goes there, depending on how stingy they are with it, they may have her change moves, you know, because AEW of course has Adam Copeland, and then WWE has Roman Reigns, of course. And, TNA has Rhino periodically, you know, so they have people who use that move already who are much higher established.
Yeah, they can change it to something else where you run into them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she has that I've seen her use recently was she has like the Tower Hacker Bomb,
that's cool.
Torture rack to power bomb, and hers is fucking nice. And that would be something that I feel, you know, that would look good on TV showing off her size and her power to just pick somebody up and toss them like that.
That's cool. Yeah, she should.
So to me, if she goes away from the spear, that would be the move to lean into. Because nobody else is doing that really on TV, at least, you know, to have it as a big signature move, kind of claimed, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I ever since the first day we saw her, she looked great.
Yeah,
and she always had that Orin Grisman powerhouse style, just a complete look that she has learned to continue to enhance and grow with. And man, I mean, once she switched to Camille and the Louis, she took it to another level. And yeah, I mean, she's definitely one of those women, I mean, one of the longest reigning NWA world champions. And yeah, I think the sky's the limit for her. I mean, she's still young in wrestling years.
No, definitely.
Yeah, wherever she goes is gonna be very lucky to have her.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Robert Roode has been cleared for action. If Bobby Roode decided he could come back and do the wrestle, the question is, at 48 years old, doing now the job that he apparently is the job that he intended to want to get once he retired, right? It's being a producer. He got that now because, you know, he tried. They gave him a tryout, I guess, a year ago, and he's done so well. He's part of the producer crew, WWE. So he's doing what he wanted to do after his bumping days were over. At 48 years old, is there a reason for Bobby Roode to want to come back and get in the ring?
I mean, he's probably got stuff that he wants to do, you know. I mean, he probably kind of still feels a little upset that his main roster run hasn't been what, you know, his run like was in NXT, you know, that he's considered one of the NXT flops because, you know, they didn't know how to use him or they didn't use him right or whatever. That, you know, he was such a superstar in NXT, and then he comes up and he's just kind of another middle of the road kind of guy into, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. So to him, there's probably more to you know, some things he would like to prove, but realistically, he doesn't have to, you know. I mean, he could, now that he's physically cleared, maybe he could do a handful of matches, but, you know, a full-time schedule, no. I don't think he needs to. I mean, especially this injury, you know, they weren't sure if this would be kind of his career-ending injury, just because he would never really be cleared. You know, it'd be something he would be dealing with for much longer. So you definitely don't want the full-time schedule and possibly risk a lifestyle or life-threatening injury. You know, so I would say, yeah, do a handful of matches maybe here and there, but pretty much just go right and stick in that producer role.
Yeah.
I heard he lost a lot of size during the recovery of his last injury.
Huh.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that would then, in theory, make it harder to wrestle. I mean, you know, having that strong musculature in your back and all that is kind of some of the things that really help you, you know, reduce the risk of injury. I mean, that's why once John Cena stopped wrestling full time, you know, he like trimmed down his core a lot. You know, because he didn't need that muscle protection around his rib cage and his lower back and stuff. So I think that if he did in fact lose a lot of size and all that, then yeah, maybe a couple handful of batches just to kind of get a proper farewell or something. And then just, you know, do the producer, man, make that money that way.
Mm-hmm. They should let him go to TNA and have a little farewell too if he leaves, because like that's his home.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Might just do a little trade for that night.
Yeah, just have him go and wrestle one last time, kind of like, you know, like when with Jordan came over to the Royal Rumble. Right. You know, even her post tweet was not, "Hey WWE, this isn't the last you've seen of me." It was, "This isn't the last you've seen of TNA and WWE."
Right.
You know, so she was pushing that it, you know, it wasn't something like she's going to leave TNA to come to WWE. It was more that, hey, there's going to be more working back and forth between us. And there had been talks about that even before, you know, Jordan was on the Rumble. There was, you know, speculation that, you know, Jordan was going to be there and you know, other TNA staple people like Moose or something would maybe come into the men's Rumble, which didn't happen. But, yeah, I mean, that would be cool. I could see him going over. I mean, that would be a cool thing for TNA, definitely, to get him to have one more big match there, you know. Or, hell, even do a backstage thing with him and, you know, him and James Storm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, James Storm, you know, surprise Rumble entrant.
James Storm is one of those guys who's going to, you know, who's going to be that Bobby Eaton kind of level of cult character,
once he decides to hang it up. I think people are going to realize how good he was in every single role he did, how he committed and he worked them and he made this and he did single and he did tag and he did this team and he did this team and this team. And he always made everything work. I think he's going to get that kind of level of people are going to realize kind of after the fact with him, you know, how good he was and the kind of praise he deserves. Cause I mean, the dude is fucking good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they got to make up a DVD, like a new DVD set. I know they've made it for his tag team. Like they made Beer Money and stuff.
Yeah. They made a Beer Money. And then of course AMW, but they never did like a James Storm singles run or career retrospective thing.
Mm-hmm.
So The Rock's back in on the board TKO, and apparently the $7 Productions are working on a Ric Flair biopic.
That's so goofy.
I mean, who are you gonna get to play Flair? Not Grayson Waller again, I hope.
Will Ferrell can play old Flair.
I mean, with Ric Flair, I think so much of his persona and his, you know, is blended into the real life that it would be hard to pick and say what's real and what's not that you're supposed to be telling in the film.
Yeah. And how do you cover that career?
Yeah.
In 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to do one of those biopics where you kind of just do, you know, like a section of the, you know, of their life and their career, not the entire thing, obviously.
Kind of like Elton John's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elton John's like his, a lot.
It was like his 70. It was 70s into kind of the mid 80s. And that's kind of what his thing did. Mm-hmm. The Elvis one was, well, no, Elvis did pretty much his whole life.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Walk the Line didn't do, you know, Johnny Cash's whole life. They just did kind mm-hmm. of a bigger section, you know. I think you'd have to do that. I think it would be probably 70s, 80s, 90s-ish, you know, somewhere in there. And his, you know, the Horseman heydays or something would probably be something people would want to see more in a movie.
Yeah. I mean, man, just thinking about just which you know, if you had to like pick, you know, like let's say like eight periods of his life, what big moments? I mean, Ric Flair's had a lot of big moments. You know, you go back from his feuds with Harley Race and Dusty Rhodes to, you know, the Sting, the Horseman, you know, the later years, the you know, going to WWE. And doing that, you know, do that match, getting, yeah, the Steamboat match.
Getting retired and then going to TNA and getting retired. And
mm-hmm. The TNA and ROH stuff can be combined.
All going the to AEW thing. And being retired.
Well, yeah, that's not
you even got some energy drinks there.
You know, I guess the biggest thing is, you know, where do you stop, right? I mean, obviously, to me, if I'm doing a movie, I stop at the WrestleMania retirement match, right? Because that's he goes into the, you know, he's already a Hall of Famer. Or you could just end it at the Hall of Fame. You know, when he enters the WWE Hall of Fame, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens on this one. I mean, Netflix still working on the Hulk Hogan biopic with Thor. Is it Chris Hemsworth?
I think that's the guy who's going to be Horace.
Yeah.
Helmsworth?
Helmsworth.
He's going to be Horace.
And then what happened with that? Aren't they still working on that Vince McMahon documentary? Like, they decided
that,
to, like...
That too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot more stuff we want to put in there, so they're going to follow this a little more closely.
Yeah.
You know, instead of finish it up and release it.
Like, ah, we need to rewrite some of these things.
Yeah, we got a couple more episodes in this series we can make now.
Yeah. They finally get some drama.
There you go. From old squeaky clean, no controversy Vince finally has some controversy, right?
Yeah, this went from a action from an action or dramedy is going to go to a horror flick.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Netflix would be like, Lifetime, this is not your kind of movie.
Yeah, it's because, true crime, you know, now. Yeah.
You see, Lifetime has been doing a lot of those true crime movies, especially with, you know, unfortunately, you know, abusers and whatnot. So, yeah, who knows? We'll see. Yeah, they're still working on that. Okay, where else was I going with this? You had two more points. Okay, the TKO cross promotion earlier in UFC continues to grow more. At UFC 298, which was the UFC's latest pay-per-view, in attendance were Bianca Belair and Montez Ford. Of course, they're promoting their new show on Hulu. And, you know, she is a great brand ambassador for the Fed. But yet they were there ringside at cage side at the UFC. And on Monday Night Raw, front row was UFC fighter Michael Chandler. And they gave him the microphone for a minute. He cut a promo on Conor McGregor, who's supposed to be his next match. Of course, Conor McGregor is one of the biggest UFC stars in the era. And apparently, from what I hear, is this very off-the-cuff, unscripted promo that Chandler put out very much pleased WWE backstage, including one Triple H. So it might not be the last we see of Mr. Chandler. So maybe he has a feature in pro wrestling. We don't know. I mean, sometimes they successfully can make the crossover, sometimes they can't. But from experience, it's been easier for the UFC fighter, for the MMA fighters, to make it to pro wrestling than the other way around. A few exceptions, obviously. But yeah. Interested to see the dynamic between the two companies. And, you know, we just saw them do back-to-back sellout shows at the Honda Center at UFC 298 and Monday Night Raw. Now here we see them exchanging talent, bringing them over to their respective shows. This may just be, you know, the beginning of what we could see much bigger things.
That remains to be seen, I guess. Yeah, if we do see a lot more intermixing of talent and such.
That guy, yeah. Sean Strickland's a great promo. Him, Israel Adesanya would be awesome in WWE. And the South African, Dricus Duplicus would be funny. Although they're like really have a big emphasis on promo now in UFC.
That's a guy. Oh, yeah, it's selling the fight, brother. You got to sell the fight.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I think it blew up with Conor McGregor on how loud he is. And so everybody tries to follow that formula. Although,
but even then, you had guys, you know, you had, I mean, Josh Barnett, and then you had Chael Sonnen. You know, Chael Sonnen was big into that stuff too.
Yeah.
He got himself booked into a lot of fights that his acumen would not have.
True, but McGregor's the first one that made that turn that into pay-per-view buys. Because they were, all these other people were fun and entertaining to watch to a niche audience. You know, obviously
McGregor made that bigger crossover. Yeah, I could see that.
Because McGregor is the one that consistently started bringing $1 million buys to the UFC. Internationally, I mean, he is beloved as much as Peter Brook may consider him an a-hole for her, the way he is. people gravitate towards him. And a lot of, you know, MMA fighters have followed the same.
Trying to follow that same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, except for the Oliver are just fakes because at the end of the fight, they're hugging each other. You don't see McGregor hugging anybody at the end of the fight, win or loss. You know, he's still, you know, Conor McGregor. Everybody
he's
else.
He's keeping kayfabe, brother. He's keeping exactly. kayfabe.
He already has some kind of finish.
Yeah.
That makes him
mad. It would see if we see, you know, Conor McGregor make it into the WWE, right? I mean, yep. Someone needs to remind him that Mayweather came to the WWE, so he can one up Mayweather one more time.
Mayweather, his second match, like Mayweather's back, and he said, "Let's do it in the WWE 20x20 ring."
The only way to get his rematch. So. That's working. And lastly, we have a lot going on, a lot of shows, but we also have a big show this Sunday from West Wego. I don't know. I like West Wego better. West Wego, Louisiana. TNA presents No Surrender. And it's not on Sunday. It's on Saturday night. And we have a 7-match card on the main show. Let's start with the pre-show. Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers versus Kushida and Kevin Knight.
Wow, that's the Jet Setters, baby.
The Jet Setters, that's
a pre-show match, all right?
I know, right?
On the pre-show, Trent Seven and Mike Bailey versus the Rascals.
Seven and
Bailey now call themselves the Speedball Mountain.
Okay.
And then here we go. What a show. Chris Sabin defends the X Division Championship against Mustafa Ali.
In Ali we trust.
So Mustafa Ali making a stop in his campaign. And will be challenging Chris Sabin. Jordynne Grace will be defending the TNA World Title against Giselle Shaw. Daddy K. Havoc and Rosemary versus MK Ultra matches Slamovic and Killer Kelly for the TNA World Tag Teams titles. PCO versus Khan, the former Connor. From that tag team, which name I don't remember anymore.
My goodness, I just blanked out on their name too. Holy crap!
Yeah, you remember their name, David? Connor and Victor.
The guys who looked like the bootleg Road Warriors.
Uh huh.
What was their tag name? We're both blanking out on it.
Hold on.
Yeah,
I think I'm muted. No, I'm not.
I mean, they had a different name in NXT. They were the Ascension. Was that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. The Ascension.
Yeah.
The Ascension. That's what they were.
Khan because he can't be Connor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's always monster. I always found that interesting.
Monster versus monster. Inverse PCO.
Yeah, Big Con versus PCO. Josh Alexander versus Simon Gotch.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I mean, Gotch is a lot better than he's gotten credit for.
Yeah.
I think as a technician, I think if they rebrand him as this kind of Matt technician, rather than just kind of the comedy that he was as Vaudevillains, I think that could be really good for them. I think that seems to be where they're kind of going with this feud, is it'll be a tactician kind of match. Submission kind of ground-based.
Right. Josh Alec, ABC will be facing off against the Grizzled Young Vets. Of course, this is a best-of-three series where ABC is defending the belts against the Grizzled Young Vets. And they are currently tied 1-1.
Like you do.
So the winner.
When was the last time in pro wrestling that a series didn't go the full length of matches?
I'm sure one day.
I remember never.
Frank Kazarian versus Eric Young for the number one contender title shot at Sacrifice. And Moose defends his TNA World Championship against Alex Shelley.
Yeah, so, the rematch there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, huge show here.
Is Nemeth isn't advertised for that show?
No Nemeth.
Oh, because he's in Japan. He's in Japan for...
to fight Finley?
Yeah, to fight David Finley and stuff. So that's probably why he'll probably still be in Japan or too close to his time there. Because I think the one show is, I think, the 23rd and the 24th. So it'd be, he definitely wouldn't be able to make it in time and be healthy to go wrestle.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have a private plane like Taylor Swift does to get her
from the U.S. Yeah, a staff waiting to grab her right as soon as she steps onto the sidewalk.
On call, literally on call. You know, I mean, I can't remember. We talked about this, but I kind of sort of mentioned this. Maybe if not, I'll mention it now. How it was such a big deal about Taylor Swift coming, making it for Super Bowl that the Japan Embassy had to put a statement saying that she could get there. That was kind of crazy. But yeah, it's quite something. Huge shows coming up for Japan. Like Danny mentioned, this Saturday and Sunday, New Beginning in Sapporo will be the last shows for Okada as he finally says goodbye to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tanahashi versus Matt Riddle, Evil versus Umino, El Desperado versus Show. Finley versus Nemeth, that all happens on Saturday. Sunday, we get the hair versus hair match, Tsuji versus Umura, Naito versus Sonata, and, Okada's last match in a 10-man tag match with his fellow Chaos mates and the president, Tanahashi. Let's not forget, Guerrillas of Destiny versus Guerrillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga's last match as well.
Yeah.
In Japan. So the end of an era, the beginning, will be a new beginning for someone else. So here we go. Some people say goodbye, some people may say hello. Oh, and some people get very loud. But it's a huge weekend for pro wrestling. With so much going on, so many shows this weekend, and in the middle of all that, we'll also have, TK bringing us the Rampage on Friday, Collision on Saturday. The road to WrestleMania, the road strong right now, and it is great to see. Great to see. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. This weekend and in the weeks following, as we continue to be on our road to WrestleMania. So that's all I got for tonight. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter machine or the X machine now. Okay, I can't remember that. At FOW Radio. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music. I promise the rest of the backlog will be there.
Someday.
This weekend. If it's not there this weekend, it'll be there this weekend. So
nice.
Listen up. But we still have a lot of old archive stuff already there you can listen to, including, some interviews that we used to do back in the day. So check them out and much more. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep watching wrestling.